Welcome today to the Doorway of the Supernatural. And of course, I'm Pastor Peter Dosek, and this is
Rob Kennedy.
Rob Kennedy, and we are working with the direction of the Holy Ghost to help you understand the gifts of the Spirit, but also how, as we start in the beginning, teaching you how you can loose them and activate them.
Yeah.
And after we've taught you that, then as you go into the miracles and you're reading the miracles, whether it's of Elijah, Elisha, you know, whatever prophet it was, then look at those miracles, meditate on them, and begin to pick out the gift that was behind that miracle.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, sometimes you can't just, well, it's just this and it's just that. Just know they're blended together as much as God is in himself, but we break them down in order to, as we word the characteristics of God. Like God is love and God is peace. And well, you can't separate any of them because they're bound together.
He's all those things
simultaneously.
And,
absolutely. Yeah. And so it's kind of like trying to take the water out of the water. It's almost impossible. And so we are talking about that today, and we're talking about the working of miracles. And we're going to be back with you in just a moment. I want to show you a miracle that took place. And really, this has to do with the gift that we're talking about, that we talked about last week, and we're talking about this week, the working of miracles. Let's see this miracle.
Yes.
That's what he did? He had a stroke? So it's just on the left side?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Come on, folks.
You're his one.
You look alike. All right. Can you feel anything in this? Okay. All right. We can't make the miracle happen.
Wir können das Wunder nicht geschehen.
But I'm telling you, I get pain sent to me. I get all kinds of stuff sent to me.
Ich kriege alles
Mögliche,
was mir geschickt wird.
Halleluja!
Moved his foot and he's never moved his arm.
Er hat nie sein Arm und nie sein Fuß bewegt.
And he's moving it and he's never moved his arm.
Und seine Tochter sieht
Look at this. Every day. Many times through the day, he keeps telling him to do that. Remember, just like a leper, he's going to go. See, look at it. You have not done it. You have not changed his mind.
Times that we've saw him get
get up out of wheelchairs and walk the wheelchairs right out. I'm telling you, you think this is not much. He's never done this. This is God touching him.
Come open his hand.
Now his daughter just said he opened his hand.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the end of that story is that the guy started moving his arm, his blind eye popped open, and guess what? All is well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you heard his daughter, you know, well, he's never moved his hand, now he's moving his hand.
Yeah.
So that is the working of miracles. You say, well, it just didn't seem like, doesn't matter what it seems like to you, remember, you put a seed in the ground, and you get to see the blade. You get to see the stem,
yeah.
But you don't get to see the inner workings. You don't get to see, you know, I think of a seed, Rob, that, you know, you put it in the ground, and it's like everything in creation wants to glorify God. So every mineral and every bit of moisture around that seed comes to that,
to that
seed.
It's drawn to
The seed doesn't need to come into it.
No.
Every mineral at the beginning of creation, every shred of moisture that's being held is rallying around that seed, because that seed will glorify God.
Yeah. It's as if the seed itself is speaking.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm here.
Yeah.
And it's
like,
drawing.
Hey, guys, I finally arrived. I am what you've been waiting for.
Yeah, exactly.
So that right there was the working of miracles. And Rob read that.
And to think that some people say the age of miracles has passed.
Oh. Well, that means that salvation would have to have been done away with.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. If you don't believe in miracles, then you can't believe in physical children being born.
Yeah.
It is a miracle.
Absolutely.
Amen. How you take an infant seed and it comes out and ends up a teenager.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a miracle. What a transformation that was.
And from a miracle, from a teenager to an adult.
Yeah,
well, that's another miracle.
Yeah, from adult to a husband. That knuckle. And
from glory to glory.
That's right. We have a question from the viewer, and it says, would like further insight into Mark 11, 22 through 24. Can you turn there, Mark? This is NASB.
New American 22. Standard. Yeah.
What is that?
New American Standard.
I thought it was NASA.
Yeah.
Okay. And it says, I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of you.
Mark 11.
Mark 11, 22 through 24.
Okay.
And it says, and Jesus answering, saying to them, have faith in God.
Yeah.
And truly, I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say unto you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes people, when Jesus also, a lot of translations say, have faith in God, it says, have the faith of God.
Yeah.
In other words, use your faith as God used his.
Yeah.
And that's what Abraham did when he spoke things that were not as though they were. And then Jesus goes on to tell us the power and the result of faith. But he gives us a little secret. He says that when you say to a mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast, plucked up and cast into the sea, believe that it has happened without evidence.
Yeah, that's right.
So that means that we, when we speak to something, even though it doesn't happen overnight, doesn't happen next day, 3 days or 6 weeks, what we do is we believe that it worked and that it happened, even though we have no evidence except what God has said to us. The same evidence as Mary had.
Yeah.
Go, you've conceived, it will be born.
Yeah.
So she goes. Yeah. Nothing changes in her. She goes and, you know, she's never been with man. She goes and believes that, hey, I'm going to be born. Elizabeth pronounces, oh, the mother of my Lord and my Savior.
Yeah.
So when it talks about we believe those things, in other words, when we do what the Scripture says and we do not vary or change from it, but believe that it came to pass, we will have it. Now, the believing comes before having.
That's right.
Yeah. It's just like you believe in heaven. You've never been there, but you talk about it.
Yeah.
You shout about it. Boy, you're excited about it. You can't wait.
Yeah.
But you've never seen it, but you talk what you believe.
Believe, absolutely.
And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:13 that as we have believed, therefore we speak. In other words, if you speak to a mountain or a tree, whatever it is, a mountain of debt or whatever, and you speak to it and you command it to be moved and taken out of your life, in the name of Jesus, what you do is now you believe.
Yeah.
In other words, you have to believe that it's already happened based on the faithfulness of God to his word. As you believe that it happened, you start telling people. Now, not people that don't believe, not people that are going to resist you. Start telling people around you that believe like you do and say, you know what? Praise God, I want to tell you something. I believe that the debt on my house had been cast into the sea.
Yeah.
Say, well, that doesn't make sense. Talking to a mountain does. Oh, let me remind you. You talking to your dog does.
Yeah.
How about your cat? Yelling at your cat as if that cat's going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you didn't want me on your car. You talk to doors. You talk to furniture. You talk to dogs. You talk to cats. You even talk to your husband.
Yeah.
You know he's not going to understand. What we do is we say things, we speak things that are not as though they are based on what God said would happen.
And you know, Pastor, I think the key to here is, you know, but he shall believe those things which he saith.
Yes.
So you have to speak.
Yep.
God created the world, the world, you know, Hebrews 11, you know, but the things that he spoke.
Words are containers of faith, fear, unbelief. And when you got born again.
You can't think to the mountain for it to be removed.
You can't. No, it is not mind over matter. It is faith over evidence.
Yeah.
And so when we speak, just like when we got saved, we had to say something.
Yeah.
What did we say? Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah,
because you believed in your heart, therefore you spoke.
You confess.
And you tell everybody, hey, I'm saved. But sometimes you don't act like it. You don't look saved. You ain't glowing. Jesus is Lord. Really? Where was he yesterday when you lost your cork? You know, so we have to speak those things. In other words, we constantly repeat what we believe happened when we said it happened.
Yeah.
Now, the Holy Ghost will give you this language.
Yeah.
It's found in 1 Corinthians 2:9, if you go over there. This is the language, what I like to call the language of the kingdom.
Yeah.
It is the language of the world that you and I are a part of. And it is a sign. It is a sign that follows us. Mm. The Bible says, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues.
Yeah.
Not only is it an unknown tongue being filled with the Holy Ghost, but it is an unknown tongue that is not learned in our institutions of learning today.
Hmm.
And so if we go to, let's go to verse 9 and read down to verse 13, Rob.
1 Corinthians, right?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2:9.
But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
So here we see that there is a language of the kingdom that we live in. Just like if you lived in Britain, British people have a language.
Yeah.
And they have an accent. You live in North Carolina, you have an accent, and you have a certain verbiage.
Yeah.
Language. It's like, hey, throw the cow over the fence some hay. Pull the doors together. A fellow told a friend of ours one time, hey, pull the doors together. He said, I'll be in between them. And she said, what? He could not get in his mind. He thought, he's supposed to pull them together. He said, I'm going to be locked in there. I can't do that. She said, just close the door. He said, oh, okay. But every country, every region has its language, as it were. So here, when it talks to us about when we use our faith, then we start talking kingdom language.
Yeah.
And we don't learn this in universities. We learn it from the Holy Ghost, just like Abraham learned it from the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely.
He spoke things that were not as though they were based on what God said. So when we speak to a mountain, then what we do is we, in the mornings, whenever you have your prayer time all through the day, God, I want to thank you.
Yeah.
That God, the debt over my house has been cast into the sea. God, you are faithful. I know, God, that you've done what you said. And I just want to worship you. I want to thank you, God. I know that you are faithful. My declaration of praise, God, is a declaration of my prophetic proclamation that, God, you are faithful. God, you've never failed one man. You've never failed me. God, the birds still fly in the air. God, they still feed off of the grain that is found in the fields. God, they still live in trees that you have planted at the creation. God, fish still breathe underwater. You are faithful, God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that's all we have to do.
Yeah.
And the Bible says prayer works the same way.
Yeah.
That when you ask in prayer, you have to say, you know what? I believe God heard me.
Yeah.
Come boldly to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, and that you may obtain grace and mercy in the time of need. There is no doubt what awaits us. The doubt is that the enemy comes and challenges.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says a double-minded man, in other words, Rob, if the devil can get you to think, well, I haven't seen anything. Well, nothing's changed. You know, it's been 6 minutes already. Yeah. Like where is the certified check?
Yeah.
Man, you know, it took me 50 years to get in this type of debt. You'd think that God could clear it up in about 30 seconds. We start looking at things, and then what the devil does is he gets us double-minded.
Yeah.
He gets us to think this. Well, what if I start thinking that? Then you pull that down, and you begin to declare the word because it's a temptation. It's a temptation to forsake what your faith has done.
Yeah.
And it's coming in. Remember that in Daniel, the 10th chapter, what did the angel say?
Yeah.
From the first time,
the
first day you prayed, I came from heaven.
Yeah.
But I've been out here warring and fighting for 21
days.
So just don't worry about the time frame.
Yeah.
God is not forsaking you. All of the angelic beings of heaven are working to give birth to your answer and your miracle.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, God doesn't fail, and he's not going to start failing just because you are in a battle. No. Speak to it, believe it, and if you believe it, you say it.
Yeah.
I believe I'm going to heaven. I tell all kinds of people, hey, I'm going to heaven. How you getting there? Oh, Jesus is going to come back. I'm going to fly up in the air on my, you know, on his power and just meet him in there. Oh, really? Yep. Hallelujah. Beam me up, Jesus. I am going up. And, I tell people that. I tell people I'm saved. I tell people I'm forgiven. They say, yeah, right. I knew you before you got saved. Yes, absolutely you did. But now I'm in a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are of God. How you like the new handiwork?
Yeah.
Look, we have got to talk like God has answered. We've got to talk like faith has worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's what Mark 11, 23 through 24 does. I think that we probably are losing this language in the church world because of the pressure of the carnal church world.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They think that it's, oh, it's foolishness to talk that. Really? That's how God talks. He talked, I will have a people who are not a people.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
I don't hear God speaking, you know, double-minded.
No.
He's not negative. He's not doubting the things that he says.
No.
Yeah.
What he said to Abraham,
yeah.
Then he ended up saying to Isaac, then he ends up saying through all the prophets.
Absolutely.
Look, yeah. I'm going to make a nation out of your seed.
Yeah.
And God doesn't fail. He has done
Never
that.
Fails. Yeah.
And he has engrafted us into the vine, and now we are the real Israel, and God is going to deal with Israel and help Israel. He's going to save thousands and hundreds of thousands of Israelians, but we have taken that place because God has given them a spirit of slumber, and so they're right now unaware or really cannot see the concept of the Messiah. But we can. Hallelujah.
And we're to provoke them to jealousy.
And we are to provoke them to jealousy. Praise God.
Yep.
So we speak things like that all the time. And we speak to inanimate objects all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people, I can't believe they sent me this bill. That's stupid. As if the letter is going to say, I didn't mean it. You know, come on, we talk to our car, you stupid car, as if he's saying, well, if you'd have sent me to college, I wouldn't be so stupid. Things don't respond to us.
Yeah.
I stubbed my toe the other day, and it turned black and blue and purple, and man, did it hurt. Gee-many. I stubbed it on a new rifle I bought. Now, Phil was told me, put that up, you know, somebody's going to stumble on it. I said, oh, ain't nobody going to stumble on it. I put it over here by the chair instead of putting it where it's supposed to be. And guess what?
You stumbled.
Somebody stumbled on it. Boy, I hit that thing in the morning. I said, Phyllis. And I should have just done what she told me to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you stupid gun. And he probably said, I wasn't too bad. I'm trying to get out of the way.
Yeah.
So, but today, Rob, we're going to talk for a few minutes before we leave there about the working of miracles. Remember that the working of miracles starts as a release of faith, or it's activated by faith in somebody's life that needs a miracle, that is believing God for a miracle. And what it does, the first initiative or the first part of the working of miracles is producing some type of evidence like the man lifting his foot up that he couldn't. That first thing creates that, and then that man, the Bible says, when they saw the miracles, they believed.
Absolutely.
In John 6:2. So as soon as they start seeing a miracle, something that transpired that couldn't happen, the doctors couldn't do it, man couldn't do it, but God does it, then what that does is give birth to a higher level of faith that allows the working of miracles to continue taking us through steps.
Yeah.
Like the process, Mark the 4th chapter, plants a seed, up comes the stalk, then the leaf, and so forth. So let's go to 2 Kings 2:19. 2 Kings 2:19, and this is a great illustration. When you get there, go ahead and read.
And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And when he went forth unto the springs of the spring of the water, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thee thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake.
Now, that water, Elijah has a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
And that word of wisdom releases faith to set in motion a working of miracles. And that working of miracles sets in a process. I don't know how it happened, but the water that is corrupt, that is no good even for the land.
Yeah.
But some way, that water is transformed into good water, pure water, healthy water. Not only the water in the pool, but all the water that's coming up out of that. So it was a working. As soon as that salt hit, Guess what? It worked on the top, worked in the middle, worked under, and clear down into the bottom, down into the depths of the springs that it came from. And so that was a working of miracles. It was something that started, but it was something that was done in a process also. So can we go to 2 Kings, Rob, and chapter 4, verse 1 through 7? This is kind of a unique story, and most of us have heard of it. And go ahead, Rob, and read from 1 to 7.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow 3 vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door unto thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So when she went from him, she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she saith unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more," and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest."
Wow. That was a working of miracles.
Yeah.
What would have stopped the miracle?
Yeah. Her disobedience. And
if she would have stopped.
Yeah.
But every time she went to pour, even though her mind was saying, "This is impossible,"
it just kept going.
She looked back, but those 100 ones worked.
Yeah.
This 100th one worked. And so that evidence of the first one, Rob, is what gave birth to the second, then the third, and to the fourth.
I believe if she had more vessels, it would have kept going.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, if she'd have just ran the hose out to a truck, you know, it would have just, I believe that.
Up. Yeah.
And it got enough to pay her debt for her to live and for her sons an inheritance.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I believe that is because the Bible says a righteous man layeth up for his generation to generation. And this was a righteous man. He had worked for the prophet of God. Mm. And so, you know, whether he was wise or whether he was unwise, it sounds that he might have lived beyond his means because she said the debtors are waiting.
Yeah.
Boy, if you're living from week to week, that was happening. The debtors were waiting, buddy.
Right.
And so that is the working of miracles. So we don't want to despise small beginnings because small beginnings end up in great endings.
Yes.
You know, ask the mustard seed. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, some people say, "Well, the mustard seed gets a bush." No, a mustard seed gets a tree.
Yeah.
And it creates a whole ecosystem in itself.
Yeah.
In other words, there is a kingdom in that mustard seed tree. Those things get huge.
And the seed is...
Oh, gosh, I swallowed my seed.
Yeah.
And hopefully it doesn't grow in you. But that tree gets so big, a new ecosystem is born.
Yeah, they're invasive, too.
Oh, man.
It'll take over.
They take over, you bet. And so the kingdom of God is like that. It's just a little by little. Don't despise small beginnings. Let the kingdom work. Hold fast our confession of faith because we have a faithful high priest in heaven.
That's right.
And if Jesus can save your soul and you're trusting him in that, then you know what? You can speak and tell people about what he's doing for you right now in the area of the working of miracles, seed sowing, and so forth.
Well,
you know, there is a... Go ahead, Rob.
Well, he forever liveth to make intercession for us. So that means he's praying ahead into our future, but he's praying for every need, everything that we have. And
absolutely.
And Jesus is believing for us.
Yes, and I believe that God hears it.
Yeah, and God hears it.
Kind of hard to deny him when he says, "Hey, Father, what, son? What? He's on his right hand. He's pretty close.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I know that Jesus is not failing. He didn't have any unanswered prayers on his earthly ministry. I don't think he has any now, contrary to why God would say, know to us, but not to Jesus, when Jesus said,
yeah.
The Father loves you as he loves me, and whatsoever you ask him in my name, he will give to you.
That's right.
But we have this new theology that says, well, God will say no to you, but it really means yes. Yeah right. Okay. And
yeah, can't find that in the Gospels.
Can't find it. No, it's just made up in somebody's Gospel. Now, in 1 Kings 17, it says, Rob, that there was a woman. God commanded her to sow a seed to the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah believed God over his own personal judgment.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, God, she's only got this.
Yeah.
She was gathering a couple sticks.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been much meal. No. I don't know.
I know.
I mean, I've watched them Survivor shows, but you can't even boil a little snail with two sticks. But she was going to get that and eat the meal, and her and her son were just going to give up the ghost and die.
Yeah.
But Elijah says, hey, first make me a cake, and then you. And so she does, and the Bible says that the barrel of meal did not run out until the end of the famine, and evidently the end of the famine and the harvest, so that she could replenish what God was ending up not providing in that case, which tells us that you can't just live off a miracle, and you can't just live off of a... you know, using your faith to bring in provision. You got to work.
Yeah. That's right.
And but this woman, this meal of barrel, this barrel of meal never ran out.
Hmm.
And I'm sure that her little boy shared with the neighbors, oh, man, we got a miracle barrel. And the ones that were hungry, he was bringing home. The ones that weren't, they were borrowing meal. I'm sure she didn't just say, oh, no, this is for me, and that's all.
Yeah.
And, but I think that was the working of miracles. It constantly.
Yeah.
Now, we had what we call a miracle box.
Yeah.
Phyllis and I went to Florida one time with my brother, and we just went on a shoestring and a hole. And that's when they didn't have air conditioners, you know. My brother had this little air conditioner you put ice in, and it blew cold air. Only thing of it, it could only blow one way, so... it was his car, and he was driving, so guess which way he had pointed most of the time.
Yeah.
There you go. But anyway, it's a truth. And but we got this little wood box from Florida, you know, at a souvenir shop.
Yeah.
And we would want to go to church, and Phil would say, honey, we ain't got no money.
Yeah.
Well, we would always go to that box, and there would always be a dollar or two in there.
Yeah.
That's when gas was 25 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
And cars got, you know, a little more gas than they did now, mileage. And we had a six-cylinder Rambler. What's a Rambler? Don't worry, you don't want one. Just stay away from that and Nash's and Studebaker's. So anyway, we would go there. And some way, God would always have money there. Now, I know that Phelps and I weren't putting it in there. I made $2.10 an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, Phyllis, gee-many, that didn't last down to the corner. She sold, got rid of it at a garage sale or something. But we had that little box, and that miracle box, we called it. We'd open up. I wish we could find it again.
Yeah,
today it'd probably be producing $20 bills instead of $1 bills, and because of inflation.
Yeah, exactly.
And but you know, that got us to church so many times.
That's
gave
amazing.
Us something to give.
Yeah,
and God just blessed us and honored us. Don't ask me how it happens.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that God can do what God wants to do and what God needs to do. And He'll be a faithful God.
Amen.
One more passage of scripture. Let's go to Matthew 14, 15, and 21. This is probably one of the great miracles that we all rejoice in.
Yeah.
And I believe that it happens. You know, we need to remember miracles because Jesus said, you know, they had questions about Pharisees and all that. And Jesus said, it's because you forgot the miracle.
Yeah.
So we need to remember and we need to meditate upon miracles because they are one of the foundations that feed our faith.
Amen.
Okay, Rob, chapter 14 and verse 15.
And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus saith unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and he looked up to heaven. He blessed, and he brake, and he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And when they had eaten, were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained to his disciples to get into the ship, and to go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitude away.
That is the working of miracles.
Amen.
Tell me your insight how this miracle would have took place.
Well, I think it's interesting that he had them get in place in rows of 50, so he brought order to the crowd. But the disciples had to, we have five loaves and two fishes. He puts them in the basket, he blesses them and breaks them, and I think as they distributed, it just never ran out. It just kept filling.
I believe that too. I believe every time it broke off, yeah. I don't believe they were saying...
They weren't giving little fragments, no.
Yeah, an old hairy man would say, give me the whole piece. But, they were breaking it off and breaking fish off, and they were handing it to people. And the working of miracles was that as long as they kept giving it out...
Yeah.
It was multiplying. Not only was it multiplying in what they were giving out, Rob, it was multiplying with what they had.
12 baskets full.
12 baskets, and they only started with one basket. Now they got 12 baskets because as they're distributing it, it's not only multiplying to the people, it's multiplying to them. And so that is the working of miracles. So we may do little things, but each time that we do it, and I'm sure that the first chunk, that poor guy got cheated. He probably said at the end, hey, do you have seconds? But I bet towards the end, take it. You need some for the house either. You're going, sell some on the road. We got plenty. But they were breaking off. I'm sure the chunks got bigger and the fish chips got bigger and fatter.
Yeah.
But that is the working of miracles. Do not despise small beginnings. Hold fast your confession of faith. Keep doing what you could do the first time.
Yeah.
I had told a lady, I think it was in Indiana, she had a stroke, and she was in a chair, a wheelchair, and she couldn't move. She couldn't move her arm or anything. So I prayed for her, and I said, now what can you do? She moved her arm. She said, well, I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
I said, okay, go home and keep doing that. Come back tomorrow night. Well, sure enough, she came back. So when I come up to her, I said, hey, how's it going? She said, I'm doing great. She grabbed me and pulls herself up and starts walking with me.
Wow.
She said, man, look at this. I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we despise those small things, but it only takes. Remember Elijah said, ask his servant, what do you see? They said, he said, I see a cloud about as big as a man's hand.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, that's enough. That's going to stop a famine over a nation? That wouldn't even give a good shower to a dirty prophet. But he's seen that one thing. And you know what? That's just what happened.
That's
he
awesome.
Said, that is enough. And he took off declaring, speaking what he believed, hey, I hear the sound of rain. Get down out of here, Ahab.
Yeah.
And he beat Ahab to the foot of the mountain.
Wow.
And so, you know, don't despise the small things. Keep doing what you started doing.
Yeah.
And allow the process of the miracle. Remember, don't eat your leaves.
Yeah.
Work with the Spirit of God. Work with the gift, and the gift will complete itself, and you will have a testimony.
Amen.
So I hope that you got some things out of the working of miracles and understand it a little better. As you meditate it and as you look at it in Scripture, you'll get these things knowing on the inside of you, and sometimes you can't explain everything. It's kind of like a kiss.
Yeah.
You know, I still kiss my wife and get dizzy. And I think it's from her hair perfume. But anyway, but I still I can't explain that. I just know that I keep coming back for more. It don't even make sense, does it? I know. But I keep coming back for more. And so you may not understand it, but just let it run its process.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I'm going to pray for you today. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose the working of miracles right now. I loose an impartation, God, of the working of miracles, of the gifts of the Spirit. God, I loose an understanding. I loose, God, a simplicity to them in the name of Jesus that a child can understand. Now, God, I loose the working of miracles upon these people. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Hey, we're going to see you Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Amen.
We'll see you then.